Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good afternoon, Howard. I am splendid, and yourself?
Excellent, thank you. Gosh, aren't we all in very good spirits? Tell us about Trump's State of the Nation Union, the State of the Union speech, I'm sorry.
Well, it was, of course, tremendous, and it was huge, and it was bigly, mm-hmm. and among addressing many of his domestic issues, including calling for unity and moving forward as a united country, Trump spoke quite a bit about support of his recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and he actually appealed to Congress in his State of the Union speech to pass legislation that would support his threat against countries who vote against his policies at the United Nations. He said that he took an action endorsed unanimously by the Senate just before he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and he said that shortly afterwards, dozens of countries voted in the United Nations General Assembly against America's sovereign right to make this recognition. And he goes on to say that American taxpayers generously send these countries billions of dollars in aid in every year. And if they're not going to be true friends to America, then perhaps it is time to cut that foreign assistant aid. So he says that, and this was last month, just after he announced his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital and before his State of the Union speech last night, he said that countries that vote against him, it would be unacceptable for them to take the money of the United States. He says people are tired of the United States. The people that live here are great citizens that love this country. They're tired of this country being taken advantage of, and we're not going to be taken advantage of any longer. He also went on to address his support for Iranian protesters. Obviously, he listens to your afternoon with Howard Feldman and the Israel Report, because you know he joined us in voicing our support. And he said that he calls on Congress to address the fundamental flaws in the terrible Iranian nuclear deal. And he didn't really address any kind of intentions of achieving peace between Israel and the Palestinians, and I think this has to be largely due to the fact that the Palestinian Authority refuses to engage at all with the Trump administration. And he said, as we strengthen friendships around the world, we are also restoring clarity about our adversaries. And when the people of Iran rose up against the crimes of their corrupt dictatorship, I did not stay silent. America stands with the people of Iran in their courageous struggle for freedom.
Powerful indeed. There's been more drama and debate around the Polish Holocaust law.
Well, this is just getting, it's becoming more and more hurtful every day, and the diplomatic dispute between Poland and Israel is now kind of going into the media, and this is in Poland. In fact, one head of the state-run channel suggested referring to Auschwitz as a Jewish death camp. I mean, it's
wow.
You know,
wow.
Yeah. So what we do know is that all this debate around this bill, which has been given approval just last Friday, and calls for penalties of up to 3 years in prison for anyone who publicly goes against the facts as the Polish people see it, is really, really bringing out more and more latent anti-Semitism. In fact, the resolution goes on to say whoever accuses publicly and against the facts the Polish nation or the Polish state of being responsible or complicit in the Nazi crimes committed by the Third German Reich or any crimes against peace and humanity or war crimes or otherwise grossly diminishes the actual perpetrators thereof shall be subject to a fine or a penalty of imprisonment for up to 3 years. So it's becoming more and more ugly by the day.
It's an incredible thing because as many countries move towards freedom of expression and freedom of speech, this is, of course, exactly the opposite. You can't use two normal words and put them together because if you do that, you can go to jail.
Exactly, and as you can imagine, this has created a major diplomatic storm between Israel and the Poles, the Israeli government weighing in, and in our past, we've supported the phrase Polish death camps, but we are very, very heavily critical of this legislation, as are major Holocaust organizations around the world, including Yad Vashem right here, who have said that it's really an attempt to rewrite history. And a lot of the critics of this law say that exactly what you've just intimated, that the law could lead to self-censorship in academia. And that the legislation, which also mentions other crimes against peace and humanity, could also be used to fight any form of criticism against Poland by authorities already accused of eroding democratic standards.
I see that there's just been a news alert, certainly on the Times of Israel, saying that Poland is now set to vote on the Holocaust bill, despite agreeing with Israel to hold off. Did you see this?
I have seen this, and it is extremely alarming. I mean, they're going to vote today. This is from the Polish Senate. You know, the agreement was that this would be debated and discussed, at least with Israel, but it is going to go through today. It's an incredible distortion of the facts and of the truth. And the president of Poland says that he was absolutely flabbergasted by Israel's violent and very unfavorable reaction. Well, I don't know about violent reaction.
I was just going to say, you know, we've seen Israel when they may be perhaps a little violent. This is not one of those cases.
And also he goes on to say that, you know, we have the right to defend the historical truth, but the point being that this is not truthful.
Very, very, it's just absolutely fascinating how this has developed into a major diplomatic war. But it's so clear how so many years after the Holocaust, these issues are not dealt with. And the fascinating thing to me as well is that when it comes to Germany, it has been dealt with. But because Germany took responsibility for their actions and for their behavior, the Polish have never done so. They've tried to whitewash their history and pretend that they were victims in the war of anti-Semitism, and they very clearly weren't.
Well, to me, this is victimizing survivors of the Holocaust. Again, it's causing tremendous pain to survivors, to their families, and to the Jewish people as a whole. And this comes at a time where we are seeing the rise of the far-right neo-Nazis in many countries across Europe, and including Poland, where we've seen marches and riots with little sanction from the government. It's extremely, extremely worrying. And then they, you know, there is a wonder why we have an unfavorable reaction.
Iliran is asking, Howard, would you agree with the term Israel wouldn't exist? He means the phrase, I think. Israel wouldn't exist without the Nazi regime. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what would have happened. Certainly, the fight for nationhood in Israel started way, way before the Holocaust, and it certainly wasn't one that began after the war. So I'm really not sure, and I can't predict what would have happened with or without the Holocaust, without the Nazi regime. Eliran, what do you think of that? Are you asking that question for a reason, or do you think that is the case? Netanyahu's to meet German finance minister, who won't be meeting, breaking the silence.
Well, this is the foreign minister.
All right.
Did I type these topics up before I had my coffee, Howard? I'm just wondering.
No, the truth is, on my runner here, it says FM.
It is FM, Foreign Minister.
Right, exactly. So there we go. My world, my brain is in finance this afternoon.
German Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel and Bibi Netanyahu are meeting this afternoon. And if we rewind back the time, this is the same foreign minister that Bibi Netanyahu refused to meet last year because of his insistence on meeting with the far-left NGO Breaking the Silence. And we know that many European countries, including Germany, have been funding these NGOs. I think a lot of the times without knowing very, very clearly what the aims and intentions of these organizations in fact are. So since the incident last April, the two have only really spoken briefly on phone calls, and I think that Sigmar Gabriel has learnt that if you want to engage the Prime Minister of Israel, you cannot be visiting groups that are seen as almost traitorous to the state. So in the German media, as Gabriel defended his actions, saying that he thinks that both he and Prime Minister Netanyahu did everything right on the last visit. But he did acknowledge that some thought that they applauded his position because he was a strong foreign minister who was not intimidated, and some felt that perhaps there was an anti-Semitic position behind their anti-Israel position. So I think that he's got the message loud and clear, and I think we can watch the space and see if we get the minutes or any report back on the meeting and how it went today.
Absolutely right. Finally, Ireland freezes the bill to ban settlement goods.
Leaping leprechauns. Well, this is good news from Ireland. Ireland is not known to have a favorable position towards Israel, and Dublin has said that they may actually reconsider the motion, which includes jail sentences of up to 5 years for anyone who attempts to import and sell goods from what they call occupied area. And as you can imagine, the Israeli diplomatic reaction to that was also unfavorable. I hope we don't see this violent and unfavorable becoming a term that's adopted by countries. But definitely unfavorable. So the bill, which is called the Control of Economic Activity in the Occupied Territories, has been frozen. And the parliament is going to go on a summer break soon, and right now it's very, very unclear whether or not they will be re-looking at voting this bill in. And as we know offline, we know that the United Nations have not been able to pass or get their blacklist of companies from the so-called occupied territories through either. So I'm hoping that people are understanding that this kind of action is a big flashback to 1938, while we're discussing Poland and we're discussing issues like this around the world.
Eliran saying the term, it's a term I often hear, that Israel has a lot to thank the Nazis for in terms of the creation of Israel. That's from Eliran.
I just want to make something very clear here.
I thought Raleen might step in at this point.
Raleen's definitely stepping in.
Yep.
It's very, very, very important that we have the state of Israel despite the Holocaust and not because of the Holocaust. As Howard mentioned, Zionism is not a phenomenon that is only 70-something years old. Zionism is a lot older than that, and the Jewish people, since the time of Dreyfus and even before, have aspired to national determination, the yearning, as we sing in HaTikva, to return to the land of Zion, Jerusalem. I have to say, we don't have to thank the Nazis for anything, most certainly not for the State of Israel. The State of Israel is here despite everything that we, the Jewish people, have faced throughout our history.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's 5:52. That was Raleen Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.